Now, today being the 13th day of April 2025, we want to finish out this second part of the lesson that we began last Sunday morning. Last Sunday morning, we began the lesson entitled, The Wisdom of a Generous Spirit. And we were talking about how that God wants us to be generous in our lives, in our spirit of loving folks and caring for folks and showing forth the praises and the honors of God. And today we're going to be down in, we went through several sections in it last week, but today we're going to be at section B in this point number one. And I want us to look at the righteous expression of generosity. I'm going to begin there. Lord willing, I'll finish it out today, and we'll have a lesson especially for Resurrection Sunday next Sunday morning. I was working on it this week, and they're just trying to get it together, and I wanted to just share with you the importance of the resurrection and how important that really is. Today I want you to look at Proverbs chapter number 21, verses 25 and 26. Proverbs chapter 21, verses 25 and 26. And I want us to see the righteous expression of generosity. Here the Bible said that Solomon wrote, "The desire of the slothful killeth him, for his hands refuse to labor. He coveteth greedily all the day long, but the righteous giveth and spareth not." And if you look at that verse number 25, that is an indictment against the sluggard and against those that refuse to do what they ought to be doing for the Lord. And they crave to always have, but they refuse to do in order to have. Does that make sense to you? They just want it, what everybody else has got, and they're willing to steal it or take it or whatever else without doing anything for it. And the slothful one desires, he dreams, he's obsessed with having things, okay? I saw a bumper sticker, and I've told you this several times before. I saw a bumper sticker one day. Guy had it on the back of his truck, and it said, "He who dies with the most toys wins." Now, I don't know what he's going to win, because he's sure not going to take them with him. But a lot of folks just desire things. They covet what everybody else has got. And that's not what a righteous man does. A righteous man will work hard, not simply to increase the amount of things he possesses, but it's to have the ability to be a blessing to others as well. And I want to share some verses with you here, out of the New Testament and the Old Testament both. But I'm going to first start here in the New Testament, Ephesians chapter 4, verse 28. I want you to see this verse today. Paul wrote this under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit of God. Ephesians chapter 4, verse number 28, he said, "Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth." We work not only to have for ourselves, but to be able to help others who have needs, legitimate needs. And Paul said, listen, if you stole before you got saved, now that you're saved, you don't need to steal anymore. Amen? And that's what it is. We steal when we don't work. We don't labor. We don't do that which God has commanded us we ought to be doing. Paul also wrote something here in the book of Corinthians, 2 Corinthians chapter number 9. In 2 Corinthians chapter number 9, verses 6 through 8, look at what he said. He said, "But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Every man according as he hath purposed in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly nor of necessity. For God loveth a cheerful giver, and God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye, always having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work." You know, I have seen that when we give back unto God as God has given unto us, God blesses, and God takes care of our needs. I have seen it happen. And you know, when you go out, if a farmer goes out and just plants two or three little plants, he can't expect a great big crop out of two or three little seeds, can he? He goes out and he sows a whole field. And you know what? That's what we need to be doing when we serve the Lord. We give back unto the Lord as He's prospered us, yes. But we sow the Word of God everywhere we go. You never know. Listen, you never know who is going to get that gospel tract. You never know who you're going to speak with that's going to take that message and listen to it and hear it and say, you know what? That's exactly what I've been looking for. That's exactly what I need. And then they go and tell their families. We've seen that happen in our church. You tell one person about Christ, and they go back and tell all their family, and their family gets saved, and they start coming to church, and they start telling others about Christ. And we need to sow the Word of God, not sparingly, not grudgingly, not because the pastor says we've got to do it, but because we want to from our heart. From our heart, we sow the Word of God. We also give back unto the Lord as God has blessed us. Somebody asked me one time, they said, Pastor, when I tithe, do I tithe off the gross or off the net? And I said, well, if you're like me, if you tithe off the net, you won't be tithing very much, okay? God gave you a gross salary per year. And you need to tithe off of what God gave unto you, all right? Now, the government's going to get what they want, that's for sure. We just pay our taxes. And, man, I'm thinking, good grief. Look at what we've had to give to the government. But you know what? I look back at all the things that God has blessed us with because we gave back unto Him. Not grudgingly, not because we had to, but because we wanted to. I had one of the pastors down in the Philippines near Cebu, Juanito Lim. I think some of you know him. And he has a little church up in the mountain areas there. And they had their graduation services for the children, for the first, the kindergarten kids, and then their senior high. He sent me a video of those kids singing. And I thought, there they are in the jungles, up on that mountain, up in the Philippines, and we support them every month, okay? I know our church does too, but we have been supporting them since I came here. And my wife and I support them personally. Several others we do like that. And you get to see the fruit of their labor. And I get to thinking, you know what? The little bit that we can be able to send to them, God has taken that and blessed it. They built another building. It even had bathrooms in that building. And they've got stuff there, and they've reached those parents. They've reached those children. He sent me a picture of a man that he was dealing with that had cancer. And the man didn't want to die and go to hell. And they asked if he would come by and visit with him. And he went to that man's house and was able to lead him to Christ before he died. And you know what? I thank God for that. And you know what? The same message that works here works everywhere else that you take it. And you spread the Word of God. You share the Word of God everywhere you go. And you don't do it grudgingly. Paul said this in 2 Thessalonians chapter number 3. He said, for even when we were with you, this we commanded you, that if any would not work, neither should he eat. Well, that needs to be a law today, don't you think? That'd be a good law today. If you don't work, neither should you eat. For we hear that there are some which walk among you disorderly, working not at all, but are busybodies. Now them that are such, we command and exhort by our Lord Jesus Christ, that with quietness they work and they eat their own bread. And you know, Paul had a lot to say about this thing. But you know what? We need to remember the strength that God has given unto us to work and to do things for God. We ought to give God our very best in what we do. And we ought to give it unto Him. The testimony of the Scriptures is clear and it's understandable. And we ought to take that which God has given to us and the principles of generosity. We ought to take what we're able to do for God, and if we're able to work, and help others that need the help, and encourage them, to strengthen them, and give them help when they honestly need it. We do that willingly, not grudgingly, but we do it willingly. I want you to look at part number 2 here, the particulars of generosity, as seen in the book of Proverbs. I want you to look at this a minute. Solomon observed some things here, and he wrote several, I guess you'd call them specific rules about giving. Okay? Look what he said. In giving to the needy, he wrote some things. In Proverbs chapter 19, verse 17, look at this with me. In Proverbs chapter 19, verse number 17, Solomon wrote these words. He said, "He that hath pity upon the poor lendeth unto the Lord, and that which he hath given will he pay him again." Can I say this to you today? You can never outgive the Lord. You can never outgive the Lord. I have seen God take nothing, I mean nothing, and make something out of it. I have seen folks that give of their food. We have a food pantry here, and we try to help folks. If they have a need, we try to help them and give them food and give them sustenance and then give them the Word of God when we do that. And I have seen folks take that, and I've seen folks abuse it, but I've seen also folks that take it and they use it for for God's honor and His glory. And you know what? You can never outgive God. You can never outgive God. We see folks saved virtually every week through the food pantry ministry. And I know Cindy and Chuck, they help keep things straightened up down there for me, okay? And we ordered some food the other week because we were really running low. We had a lot of food calls. And so what I do, I call Aldi's. I go online and I order it there online. And I think they brought me like 755 items, okay? That's what we ordered because we were just that low on stuff. And folks have given so that we could purchase things for the food pantry. And then folks bring food in and help us with it. And we took, and I think they made up four different groups of food for families. And that week we had five groups of families that called needing food. Took it to them, and we had, I don't know, probably seven or eight different people that trusted Christ as their Savior through the food call ministry. And you know what? I'm saying, your labor is not in vain in the Lord. You do what you can do to help the needy. And when you give, and you folks give here to the ministry here, they bring food. We had the children up in Master Clubs the other week that brought food. They brought bags of food down here. And they brought it on Wednesday night to put into the pantry. And they will never know until they get to heaven what a blessing they were to some of these people that needed food. Children, grandparents, folks that's sick, folks in need. And yet they got that food. And because they were able to get that food, we were able to get into that home and give the gospel, and they get saved. Amen? Isn't that great? Because God is blessing it. So in giving to the needy, he said, "He that hath pity upon the poor lendeth unto the Lord, and that which he hath given will he pay him again." Go over to Proverbs chapter 21 just a moment. Look at this verse. Proverbs chapter 21, verse 23. He wrote these words. He said, "Whoso stoppeth his ears at the cry of the poor, he also shall cry himself, but shall not be heard." I've seen folks that turn their back on people. They don't want to have anything to do with helping anybody. All they care about is themselves, therefore, and no more. And that's it. And they close up their ears. And then you know what? When troubles hit their lives, nobody wants to help them. Nobody wants to have anything to do with them because they turned their back on everybody else. They thought they were so much better than everybody else. You know what the fact is, folks? Every one of us are needy people today. Every one of us are needy people today. I don't care how big your bank account is or how much property you own or anything else. Listen, that all could be taken away in just a heartbeat and would be without anything. And folks, we need the Lord today. We don't need to stop up our ears to the needs of the cries of the people. We need to hear those cries and take them, the Word of God, and give them the things that will help them most. Look at Proverbs chapter 28. Proverbs chapter 28. Here is a promise that Solomon wrote. Proverbs chapter 28, verse 27. And he said this. He said, "He that giveth unto the poor shall not lack, but he that hideth his eyes shall have many a curse." So on the one hand, the generous man not only sees the needs of others, but he also responds to those needs. And he helps with those that may not be able to help themselves. You know what? I'm so glad that God helped me when I could not help myself. Amen. I'm glad that one day God sent a bus by my house and picked me up and brought me to church. But you know what? We see the generous man and how God blesses. But then on the other hand, you see the Mr. and Mrs. Scrooges of this world, right? The Mr. and Mrs. Scrooges. And they refuse to see the needs of others. They hide their eyes, okay? They don't want to see the things. And they actually refuse to acknowledge the needs of others. And folks, listen. After I got saved, God put a desire in my heart to be a help to others. And you know what? If you're a child of God, you're going to want to help others. You're going to want to help them to see that what they need is the Lord Jesus Christ. Ultimately, that's what they need. But they need to see Christ in us. And I'm glad that it was God who kept the books. Not me. Not anybody else. But God keeps the books. And He knows who does what to help others. He knows who does things from their heart. He knows folks that just do it because they want to be seen in the play that we're doing tonight. Those priests wanted everything to be seen that they did, okay? But they were doing wrong. They tried to persuade the people they were so right, and yet they rejected Christ. They turned folks away from the Lord. And boy, I don't want to be that way. I don't want to be that way. So I'm glad that God helps us to see. This week I was reading in Exodus chapter 21, verse 22, and over in Deuteronomy chapter 10, verses 12 through 22, and I don't have time to read those passages, but I read there how that God reminded the children of Israel not to vex or to offend the stranger in their land. And then God reminded them of the reason He didn't want them to do that. They had been so blessed that when a stranger came into their land, they just kind of shunned them. They put them aside. They didn't want to have anything to do with it. And God said, you don't need to do that. You don't need to vex them. You don't need to turn them aside, because I want you to remember that you were once strangers in the land as well. And I took care of you. And I provided for you. And as God blessed Israel when they were but strangers in the land, so they too were to bless and they were to help any strangers that they came in contact with. And that's why Solomon wrote there in Proverbs chapter 19, verse 17. I think we looked at it just a moment ago. He that hath pity upon the poor lendeth unto the Lord, and that which he hath given will he pay him again. God honors generosity. Generosity from the heart. Generosity from the fact of seeing, listen, I was once like that, and I want to be a help to them as God was a help to me. So I want you to see that today. Paul wrote to the church at Philippi in the book of Philippians chapter number 4. And I want you to look at this with me today. Philippians chapter 4, verses 15 through 19. He said this. He said, now ye Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. For even in Thessalonica, ye sent once and again unto my necessity, not because I desire gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. But I have all and abound. I am full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you, an odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God. But my God shall supply all your need according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. You see, God saw the generosity of those Philippian believers. And God blessed them because of their godly attitude of care and their love for the Apostle Paul and for the other folks that he was witnessing to and he was ministering to. And God blessed them because of their generosity. And God will do the same for you and I. You know, I look sometimes and I think to myself, man, if I didn't give this to God, then boy, look what I could have. I could probably have a second car. I could do this. I could do that. But you know what? I'd be robbing from God. And I'm not going to rob God, because God owns it all. Amen? He owns it all. And everything that I have. Listen, you know what, folks? He trusts us with more than what we deserve today.
Amen.
He trusts us with more than what we could ever deserve. And we owe it all to Him. So let's trust Him today. Not only does God bless when we give to those in need, but we also see how our God blesses in our giving to the adversaries. You know what? There are times that you say, well, this person doesn't like me and I'm not going to help them. Man, I'm not going to do anything for them. I wouldn't give them air in a jug. Have you ever heard that expression? I wouldn't give them air in a jug if they needed it. But you know what? That's not the right attitude to have, is it? And even adversaries need to see Christ in us. I want to share something with you here today. Solomon wrote, under the guiding hand of the Holy Spirit of God, he wrote something here in Proverbs chapter 25, verses 21 and 22. I want you to see today. Now, I want you to make a note of this in your Bible. Now, I don't know that I have any enemies that are mad at me so bad that they would hurt me or anything like that. I don't know of anybody. Nobody but the devil. And, you know, he doesn't like me. I don't like him. So we got something in common today. Amen. But here in Proverbs chapter 25, beginning in verse 21, the Bible said this. If thine enemy be hungry, give him bread to eat. And if he be thirsty, give him water to drink. For thou shalt heap coals of fire upon his head, and the Lord shall reward thee. You listen to me today. Anybody can give to the poor and the needy. And they can make that thing look like, you know, I've done something really great. Anybody can give to the poor and needy because it takes the love of and the power of God to give to those folks that have done you wrong. And I know that there are folks that may have done some of you wrong. There are people that, boy, you don't want to have anything to do with. And you just despise them. But you know what? We got to love them in the power of God. Because were it not for the grace of God, that could be you or that could be me. We could be the same way today. We could be the enemies of God. We could be the enemies of everybody. But you know what? When we give of God's love to folks and let them see Christ in us, it melts the hearts of stone. Let me tell you. I'm telling you. We've got some family in North Carolina that don't necessarily care for us because we love the Lord. Okay? And you know what? They've said bad things. They've done bad things. They've caused strife and contention. And every year, I've told my wife, I said, you know what? We're going to make them some nice gifts for Christmas. And she said, we are? I said, yes, we are. And we've made some nice gifts for them. And we put it in a little bag and things like that. And I know that if we go there and we get around it, then boy, it's just going to be a mess. But we leave it for them. And we leave a little note in there. We love you. Merry Christmas. All this stuff. Even give candy. I give candy to them. You know, because somewhere along the line, somebody's got to make them sweet. Something's got to happen somewhere along the line. But you know what? We do it every year. We don't ever receive anything from them. Sometimes just a hard time. But you know what? I've told my wife, and she agrees. If they're going to know anything about us, they're going to see the love of God in us. I want them to know that we love them. We're praying for them. I want them to know that what we have is not what they think we have, something stupid and something idiotic and something not real. I want them to know that we have something, not something, someone who is real in our lives. And that we love them and we want them. Listen, if I had a worst enemy, I would not want to see them die and go to hell. I would not want it. I wouldn't want that for anybody. let alone family. I wouldn't want family to go to hell. But you know what? If they do die without Christ, and they do continue to reject the Lord and His Word and the things of God, and they die and they spend eternity separated from God in that awful place called hell, it'll not be because they did not see the love of Christ for them in our lives. And I don't want them to stand before God and say, they never tried to tell me. I'm not going to do that. And folks, we need to learn today that, listen, our enemy today is not the folks that call us names and treat us badly and don't want to have anything to do with us at family time and things like that. That's not our enemy. Our enemy is Satan today. The battle is the Lord's, and the battle is for souls today. And you and I need to be the light. We need to be the salt in this world that folks see and they know that's real. That's real. Now, you know what? I know Brother Paul said if there's somebody that causes problems, you need to avoid them. And we do. We try to avoid those problems. But when it comes down to those birthday times and those Christmas times and those gifts and things like that, we're going to let them know we're loving them. We're praying for them. I want them to know. I want them to see Christ in us. The Spirit of God wrote to Solomon, or He spoke to Solomon here. And He said, you remind these people that if their enemy be thirsty, you give them water to drink. If they be hungry, you give them food to drink. Why? Because in doing so, thou shalt heap coals of fire upon their head, and the Lord shall reward thee. Listen, you want to have a blessing from the Lord? Then here's what you need to do. You need to be kind to those that hate you. Okay? That's what Jesus did. And you know what? Jesus loved them. There was not one person that smote Him, that spit upon Him, that scourged Him, that put that crown of thorns upon His head, that mocked Him and railed on Him. There's not a one of them that Jesus did not want to see be saved and go to heaven. Not a one. When He looked down from that cross and He said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. He spoke of all of them. There was not a one of them. And He spoke of you and He spoke of me. And God did not want any of us to die and go to hell. Jesus said this in Matthew chapter number 5. I want to share this with you this morning before we close. In Matthew chapter 5, beginning in verse number 43, He said, ye have heard that it hath been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. But I say unto you, love your enemies. Bless them that curse you. Do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you, that ye may be the children of your Father which is in heaven. For He maketh His sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust. For if ye love them which love you, what reward have ye? Do not even the publicans the same? And if ye salute your brethren only, what do ye more than others? Do not even the publicans so? Be ye therefore perfect. That word perfect does not mean to be sinless, but it means to be spiritually mature about some things, grown up in the Lord, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. And I'm certain that Paul had these verses from Proverbs in mind when he wrote this in Romans chapter number 12. And look at it with me. Romans chapter 12, beginning in verse number 19. He said, dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in so doing, thou shalt heap coals of fire upon his head. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. Amen. That's some good advice today. I want to close the lesson today with this. I read a few years ago, a story. It was in what they called the Sunday School Times. And it was of a Christian school for the untouchable children in India. They had all kinds of diseases and problems. And this was before World War II. And every year, the children received Christmas presents from children in England. Each girl got a little doll, and each boy got some sort of a toy. And one year, the doctor from a nearby mission hospital was asked to distribute those gifts. And so during his visit to the school, the doctor told the youngsters about a village where the boys and girls had never heard about Jesus, had never heard the story of Christ there in India. And he suggested that they might want to give some of their old dolls and their old toys to those children. And those school children readily agreed with the doctor. They said, yeah, that's a good idea. So a week later, when the doctor returned to collect the gifts that the children had donated, the old toys and old things that they had outgrown and things like that, all those children filed past him bringing their gifts. But he was surprised at what he saw. Each of them, each little girl's handed him a doll. Each of the boys brought a toy. But when he realized what they were giving, they were giving the toys and the dolls that they had just received as gifts themselves the week prior. And he stopped one of the little girls and he said, listen, this is the doll we brought to you last week. This is a brand new doll. Don't you have something that's old and not, you know, so pleasant that you'd want to keep that you could just give to somebody else? And that little girl said this. She said, think what God did by giving us His only begotten Son. Now she's saying this to this doctor. She said, when I thought of this, how could I give Him less than my best? And folks, you know what? God deserves our best today. We ought to live with an attitude of gratitude for what God has done for us today. What we have, it's not our own. I tried to sing you a little song last week. I don't know if I did very good with it or not. But again, the words said that the things that I love and hold dear to my heart are just borrowed. They're not mine at all. Jesus only let me use them to brighten my life. So remind me, dear Lord. Roll back that curtain of memory now and then. Show me where you brought me from and where I could have been. Remember, I'm human, and humans forget. So remind me, dear Lord. The wisdom of a generous spirit, that's what I want in my life today. And I hope you'll want the same. Let's pray just a minute. Father, Lord, I love you today. And Lord, you know why I love you today? John summed it up best when he wrote in 1 John chapter 4. He said, we love Him because He first loved us. And Lord, because You loved me so many years ago and gave me Your gift of salvation, God, You changed my heart. And Lord, because You love me, now I want to love You and I want to love those around me. And I want to be a generous Christian today in my life. In my attitude of giving of my time, my talent, my temple, my treasures, Lord, all the things that You blessed me with in this life, I want to be able to give back unto You as You've given unto me. Lord, I pray, God, that You'll help that to be our attitude today. Help us, oh God, to have the wisdom of a generous heart, a generous spirit. Bless now, Lord, in the services that Pastor is going to be preaching in. Lord, I pray, God, that You'll fill him with Your power. Bless the services tonight, the play, all that's done and said. God, let it be done for Your honor and for Your glory. Father, speak to hearts, and we'll thank You for what You do. For it's in Jesus' name we ask and pray. Amen. Amen. Love you today. Thank you for being in Sunday School class.